Welcome to the Survival Prepper Show, where being labeled a crazy prepper is a badge of honor. Learn about disaster preparedness, survival, and get ready for whatever challenges might come your way. This is not your typical prepping podcast, and they won't be silenced by the censors. Here are your hosts, Duff and Dale.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. That was a little abrupt. I'm not used to the intro just totally going out. But hey there, everyone. As you've probably noticed already, we've got a little bit different setup here. We're trying something different. I finally got internet that is capable of doing this crap. 500 up and down. So if we have any problems, it's not my fault this time. That's kind of a good and a bad thing, because the fact that I have fiber optic is great. The fact that I'm in a rural area and I've got fiber optic means I'm not so rural anymore. So yeah. It is a rural company that it put it in, but still it's one of those warning signs. It's about time to figure out where I'm going to be moving in a few years or so.
I mean, I think it's a good, you're in a good spot out there, man. You got enough, ruralness, and now you have connection. At least you can do what you're doing, you know?
Yeah. It's close enough to all the stuff where it's not too bad, and far enough away that I got a little bit of lead time, say something goes down or whatever. Yeah. But pretty soon, in 10 years, that's not going to be the case anymore, I don't think. So we'll see though. Yeah. Brandon said, and Brandon, yeah, welcome to the 22nd century, Dale. I want to still be back in like the 20th century is where I want. And you know what? I better be careful what I wish for, because that could be happening soon anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish for that kind of stuff sometimes. Well, yeah. Maybe, you know, down the road, maybe when it gets bad enough, you might want to wish for it. But right now it's probably.
Yeah. with that, tonight we've got a lot of cool stuff to talk about tonight, or a lot of interesting stuff to talk about anyway. We're going to talk about some of the world conflict stuff going on. Want to talk a little bit about that tornado and some tornado preparedness. And then a little bit about CMEs and stuff, because we've talked about that a couple times and it's kind of on top of my brain. Before we get into all that, though, I wanted to mention we are over at Rumble. And this show, we're going to be ending just like we're going to start doing now from now on. We're going to be ending this show about halfway through, 20, 30 minutes or so on the YouTube channels, because we want to be able to talk like we want to talk and not have to worry about it. So we're going over to Rumble. I forgot to leave the link in the YouTube description, but if you just go over to Rumble and type in the Survival Preppers, you can find it there. On that, something that was pretty interesting that I wanted to show, because I started my Survival Prepper YouTube or Rumble channel the other day. I've got 27 subscribers. I did a video both on YouTube and Rumble. Now, keep in mind, 25 followers over on Rumble. I did this video on YouTube the other day. And on this video, and this was this morning, I grabbed these two screenshots, 173 views. On this, and it was a short little 15-minute live video I did. On Rumble, it's got over 1,000 views, and I've got 25 followers. Yep. I mean, in a nutshell, that's why we're doing what we're doing. And it's not necessarily because of us trying to get views. I mean, that matters.
Yeah.
But it shows everybody what exactly you're getting from YouTube. YouTube doesn't want you hearing about all this other stuff. They want you to see what they want you to see, the vanilla
was that
stuff.
Was that on your Survivalist Prepper channel and then on YouTube and Rumble, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because you have 25,000 subscribers there, don't you, or something like that?
Yeah, almost 26,000. And I got 173 views and then 27 followers on Rumble, and I got over 1,000. So it just shows you if you want, you know, that the real information or that stuff that may make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, regardless whether you agree or not, you're not getting it from YouTube. You're getting what YouTube decides that is deemed to be, you know, safe, I suppose. Safe for public consumption.
Well, I guess we should say safe so it makes YouTube happy, right? I wouldn't say it's what they deem to make safe. It's what they deem to go with the narrative. So, and that's the problem, because it's just not us, right? This is happening to all the other prepper channels out there, preparedness channels, any channels like this. They're all getting suppressed.
Yeah.
Right now. So what you see in your feed, you're not getting, you know, what you should be, because they're suppressing the type of stuff that you watch.
Yeah. Hey, Denise said in the chat, you guys look purdy.
Aw.
Yeah, it's now that I've got better internet, Brian is not subject to my internet capabilities, and we don't have to use Zoom, so it's a little bit better as well. So those two combined make for, it's going to make for a better show. Plus, Brian's got control on his side, so if he's got an article or something he wants to share, he can share it as well as me on my side. So I'm not just in control of everything anymore. Brian can, if he's got something, he's pulling up. Sometimes you do that. We'll be talking about something and you pull something up. Now you can actually show what you're reading rather than just talking about it. One more thing before we get into the actual show today, because I saw this, you posted something on Facebook the other day and I saw this and I was like, what the hell is that? But this is, you talked about, what did you call it? The perpetual soup, or what did they call it?
Yeah.
Perpetual soup.
Yeah. I guess they've been cooking around for a long time, man. It was, since the Middle Ages, they've been doing this. And what's this one here? It's like 45 years.
Yeah. 45 year soup. And basically what they do, I just wanted to play this because this picture right here, I was going to grab a screenshot. Let me see if I can make this full screen. You see that thing around the bowl right there? It looks like a big giant dinosaur turd. That is actually what it is the soup. They can, if they keep it hot enough above 145 degrees, they can keep it going. This one has gone for 45 years. And what that brown crap around the outside is the cast off when they dip into the soup and pull it off, 45 years worth of soup dripping on the outside of this damn thing. And I'm like, would never fly in the United States, I suppose, is my whole point.
I don't know, man. I bet that that soup drippings, that's like some crazy condensed broth or something by now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
you know how unsanitary that has to be? I mean, would you take a bite of it? I mean, it's gotta be growing stuff.
Just and the I fact mean, that it was 45 years, if I knew I had like good medical care there, then
it is Thailand.
I might give it a shot. Cause that would be, it, I mean, how often do you get to take a chunk of a 45 year old stew dripping?
Yeah, it is Thailand. That's how they get away with it. Over here in the United States, not a chance in hell. You'd be shut down and put out of business. But yeah. I just thought it was interesting. Because and
our,
that's not
our,
the,
our, the F, all of our authorities that decide all that kind of stuff are so squared away right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought it was interesting because it's not just them. This is actually a thing. People do this all over the place.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It was Michelle Tusa put that up in the Mind for Survival Facebook group. So.
Did she?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Pretty neat. I just wanted to bring that up real quick. I know it has nothing to do with absolutely anything, but I thought it was pretty cool. The next thing I wanted to talk about was the tornadoes. Let me see if I can pull up a different website, but the tornado that just happened in Mississippi, I'm sure you've heard about that, yeah. Right?
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. 25 people, I think 25 people died, dozens injured. It's insane. And it's not a place that you think about. Let me press play on this. It's not a place you think about when you are thinking about tornadoes. So it just kind of goes to show you that regardless of where you are, I mean, not, you don't have to prepare for tornadoes everywhere, but regardless whether you are, regardless what you think is possible, you know, it just stay on your toes.
They get tornadoes a lot down in the South, you know, and it's just, they just got smacked by a big one. You know, it's that roll of the dice thing. It's why we prepare.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And at that point, I mean, how do you prepare for that? Like they just had, I guarantee you there's probably people there who are very into preparedness, right? It's the South. And they just had all their preparedness blasted away. So now what's your plans, right? How do you start recovering? You know, I don't know. Is it, you know, start with your insurance or that you have some, try to have somewhere else to go. That's where that network of friends and all that comes in.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole community just got destroyed, man. Yeah. And those poor people down there.
I kind of wonder because it's not one of those places you hear about a lot about, you know, it's not like Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, that have the shelters and stuff in place. Maybe they do there. I don't know. I know there was some warning, and prayers to everyone that you know is out there that's going through that. But I know there was some warning, like beforehand. I mean, even hours before them saying, "Hey, there's going to be a pretty serious storm coming through. You know, watch yourself." And then even just a little bit, you know, 10, 15 minutes beforehand, it was a get to cover.
Because well, I caught something today. They said it was at least an F4, I guess.
Yeah.
Hit, and I mean, just bulldoze those houses, you know?
Yeah, it just tore that damn neighborhood up. I don't know how big of an area it wrecked, but yeah, it was bad. But that, you know, it made me think about, you know, just the fact of, you know, being prepared because out here, I think about tornadoes all the time. I don't put a lot of effort into it because it's once in it. I've seen one out here, but it was pretty far away. But we are on the edge, and I don't think of me as being like as.
Dude, they had a tornado this week in Montebello, California. That's Los Angeles County. They had a tornado this week. Obviously, it wasn't like the one that hit down there, but I think it's 2023. Anything's possible these days.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, think about that stuff, even if it never happens. And that's kind of preparedness in general, because all of this stuff that we talk about all the time tends to, you know, just it doesn't happen in the time frame that we're thinking it might. And then it gets put off and get put off. And we kind of let our guard down with a lot of this stuff. So whatever natural disasters, this just goes to show you it's not all about the nukes and stuff we're going to be talking about today. It's about the other stuff as well. So,
well, I mean, dude, look at, we've talked about a bunch this week. I don't know if you're planning on talking about the stuff in France and Israel, right? You got Israel protests like going like crazy because Netanyahu he's trying to consolidate power. Right. And so people are irritated by it. And then France, because, you know, Macron just went off and unilaterally said, "Hey, we're raising the retirement age." I mean, Paris has been burning up. They've had, you know, instances where the cops that were out there, working against the protesters took off their helmets and joined the protesters. Firefighters have joined the protesters. You know, they're having just crazy amounts of people protesting there. U.S. media isn't reporting the French stuff here right now. I haven't seen anything on it, really. A little blurb here and there. They're reporting Israel right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in the world where, yeah, you know, it sucks if that tornado hits you, but it's really good time to be prepared for that stuff, to be able to get by on your own for, 30 plus days.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing that the reason I wanted to bring this up is because in a video I did last week, I talked about some tips to kind of stay ahead of the game on preparedness. And they talked about get real life experience or listen to people that have gone through real life things like Selco I talked about, and then help out in a disaster. And this would be, you know, as long as you weren't in it, it would be an ideal situation where you go out and help, because there were a lot of people injured. I mean, I'm sure that there was a lot of people in Mississippi and around there that, you know, went in there just to help out. But this would be one of those situations where you could really get that hands-on knowledge and see exactly how it actually is.
And coming together, you know, as a community down there, right? When you know how to help, who are you helping? Like, your house just got obliterated. It might be a family member. I mean, they had 25 plus dead now.
Yeah.
You know, a ton wounded. So you're helping out a family member, taking those first aid classes, CPR classes, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I took my first aid course outside of the Boy Scouts, I think, when I was 16, right? And took a CPR course at 16. That stuff's out there. Go do it if you haven't done it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, man, you just never know with all this stuff. And that goes for everything in preparedness. So next here, I wanted to talk a little bit. I've got this video from Arthur Bradley that I wanted to bring up. I talked about this a little bit the other day too, but my daughter sent me a picture and she's in Michigan right now. Well, you can't, that's not, that's not very good, but she's in Michigan right now. And I saw the other day that the Northern Lights were going to be visible all the way down to Colorado. We didn't actually see them down here because I think we're a little bit too far south in Colorado. But she sent me this picture from where she's at. So she's seeing them up there. It got me thinking about, because I don't think it was any sort of EMPs or CME. anything like that that caused this. I think it was, I don't know exactly what it was that caused it so much, but you had the sun a few weeks ago that, you know, spit all that stuff out. Luckily, it was facing the opposite way of the earth. And then we've talked about it a couple times, and it's one of those things that just, it has me feeling like when you look back and go, man, we were just talking about that a couple times. So one of those uneasy things, it's like, oh man, I hope I'm not setting myself up here. But it got me to looking into Arthur Bradley. And I think people in the chat, most of you probably know who Arthur Bradley is. I know Brian does. It'd be cool to actually get him on the show sometime. He's sort of kind of dry, I suppose, when it comes to some of this stuff, because
that's the way to get him on the show, dude. Just, hey, would you like to bring your dryness to our show?
No.
It needs to be a little dry.
I don't mean dry. Like, I mean, it's the stuff that he talks about is so technical.
Yeah.
He's so knowledgeable about it that it can get to where your eyes start to gloss over. But if you want really good information about EMPs and you want that information that is correct about why it does what it does and how it does all these things, he is the guy to go watch some of his videos. He doesn't have a million videos, but you don't need to watch a million of them because he will explain it. He talks about, I've got this one here that I want to play just a little clip of where he's talking about protecting a little inverter.
Yeah.
But it's. You know, you hear a lot of chatter on the internet, basically, about all this stuff. EMP will do this. EMP will do that. You know, it's going to tear down everything. He is the guy. If you want true information and a guy, I believe he worked for NASA, didn't he? NASA?
I'm not sure.
Somewhere like that. But he is the guy. If you want to.
Place where all the dry people hang out and work.
You're not going to let that go. I didn't mean he's like, you know, just Bueller. I just mean, there are certain subjects that are fun and entertaining and engaging, and then there are certain subjects that are really heady and you got to pay attention. And EMPs and electrical crap, that's one of them. So anyway, I want to play this little part right here of him talking about how to protect surge protectors. And he's also got a little generator behind him, which he talks about EMP cloth, which I'll go over in a second. But let's go ahead and play this. Let me put this on full screen.
It's much more usable for many things that we need power for. So how do you protect an inverter? Well, first thing to know is you do need to protect inverters. They're certainly susceptible to the radiated energy that could come from an EMP. So the easiest way to do that is to simply put it into one of these EMP bags, is what I call them on my website, disasterpreparer.com. And there are different sizes, but you find a size that would fit your inverter, and you simply put your inverter inside the bag. And these bags, now some people will ask, well, why don't the bags have Ziplocs on them? Certainly you can buy bags with Ziplocs. What I found though is I tested a number that had Ziplocs, and what I found is they didn't really do a very good job of keeping out the RF energy. It tended to find its way in through that seam. So while it's very convenient to have Ziploc tops, it just didn't really work that well. And so I don't sell that kind. I sell the type that I found to protect the very best. So anyway, you put your item in there and then you take the top and you simply fold it over twice, all right? So you just roll it over twice like that. And then you take some tape, and any kind of tape is fine, just regular Scotch tape or any kind of tape you'd like. You can then tape up that seam so that you have a nice clean seam. If you do that, the item will be protected to a level of about 50 dB, which is about 99.7% of the energy will be blocked from getting in.
So I just wanted to play that because I think a lot of people, myself included, think that you got to have certain type of, you know, seal it all up, and then you got to have a certain type of tape and make sure that everything is good to go on there. And then, you know, you don't want to open it up because then you got to seal it up again and use that tape. And he was talking about how just fold it twice and use regular tape. You can take that thing out whenever you want. You can reuse that bag and all that stuff. So there's, it's a little bit more simple than a lot of us kind of think it is. He was also talking about his EMP cloth. Let me see if I can. He's got his website, Disaster Preparer, and they sell. He's got a whole bunch of different EMP proof or EMP style stuff. That let me see if I can. This is the one. It's hard to figure out which tab is what, but this is the EMP bags that he's got right here. He's got, let me see if I can find the, anyway, I'm not going to go through the whole thing of trying to figure that out, but it's EMP cloth basically. And it sells up to like 50, he sells up to like 50 feet or whatever. So you could cover an entire generator. You could cover, you know, that little battery bank that he's got up there. It looks like it's not a Jackery, but it's kind of that same style of battery bank. But you can do a lot of things. And he's also got the ferrites and a little thing that he's working on that you can, like, he's got one that you can protect a tractor. And I thought about putting one on mine. That way, you know, if something does go down, CME or something like that, at least the tractor will still work. Probably be a pretty popular guy if I was the only dude in the neighborhood with a working tractor.
Yeah. I thought he was pretty interesting. I didn't think he was too dry. I stayed awake during it all. But yeah, I think that's important stuff to look at, especially now, right? If you think about it, like everybody's talking, what are they all ratcheting it up and everybody's shaking their sabers, you know, like the whole thing in, what does it say? So if you tape it better, that makes it 100%.
Possibly. That's Matt. What's up, Matt?
Well, I think he said it was 99 point something.
Yeah, up to 50 dB. So,
like that. Yeah,
perfectly fine. But if you tape it better, it probably would be. Yeah, makes sense. You would think so.
Yeah,
but
no, I think
See, if I would have played the rest of that video, you'd have been like, "Turn that off, man."
I probably would have found it really interesting and would have helped my preparedness.
Yeah,
Dr. Bradley is pretty squared away. But
you
anyhow,
say that now.
I think right now with. You know, because they're ratcheting up everything with China, right? China and Russia. Oh, they're getting together. They're going to have this. They'll be able to reuse each other's nukes kind of thing. They can't attack us, right? I mean, they could nuke us, right? But then we would nuke them kind of stuff. They can't. It's not like a Red Dawn scenario, I don't think, where they can try to come over across some oceans and try to attack the United States, right? And, I mean, they know that the Second Amendment's been doing pretty well in the Supreme Court, too. So what are you left with, right? Well, I think you look at something like an EMP kind of thing, right? Or like you said, a coronal mass ejection. But I mean, they just drifted their balloon across the country. If nothing else, right? That is proof of concept. They can launch these low tech things and they get through. So I think that's a bigger risk, you know, with stuff. I mean, like you said, the CME too, you just showed those pictures of the Northern Lights. That's not coming because, you know, Pluto farted. No, it's coming because the sun's farting, you know, plasma energy at us. So,
yeah. With the whole China thing, and we're going to go to Romo pretty soon, but we'll get into that. But I think in my personal opinion, anyway, there's a little bit that to be said about the fact that, you know, China has got a little dirt or basically owns a lot of our government. So. You know, is it really surprising that they're able to fly a balloon across the country? And what else are they going to be able to do and all that crap? Because talk about a shadow government. Wouldn't that be crazy if China was the shadow government? I don't know how true that is.
Oh, come on, man. You know we're our people are part of it.
Yeah. So, all right. I think I do want to get into that. So I think what we are going to do is end the stream over here on YouTube. I know everybody is watching our Survival Preppers channel, but there's quite a few people already over on Rumble.
Yeah.
Head over to Rumble, jump into that chat too, because we're going to be talking about China. We're going to be talking about China brokering a deal with Iran and Saudi Arabia and what that means. And then the BRIC stuff and Russia, trying to get everybody into BRICS, basically go away from the United States, China as well. And then, as Brandon talked about, he texted me the other day and he was talking about the new Cold War happening because of Belarus, Russia moving stuff into Belarus. So I want to get your thoughts on that.
Hey, real quick, before we go. Hey, Dave and Michelle giving you a shout out there.
But I think everyone, that's it for everyone at YouTube. Anyway, that's it for today. Make sure if you want to continue listening, it's going to be fun over there. Head over to our Rumble channel and talk to us over there. Jump in the chat. But take care and prepare. We'll talk to you over. We'll talk to y'all later or over there.
Bye, y'all.
Discretion is advised.
I think that may have gotten halfway. Viewer discretion and then cut out, but we'll see. At any rate, what I wanted to do was talk about some of this China, Russia stuff. And I want to play this little clip of Glenn Beck that I played the other day on my, let me pull this off, on my channel. But he was talking about how his, because I want to get your predictions, but his prediction is that China will invade Taiwan and all of this other stuff. But I will, let me play this so I don't actually just explain the whole damn thing.
Here's the problem. China, I believe, before 2025, before the next president is sworn in, you will have a digital currency. I hope I'm wrong on all of these things. You'll have a digital currency. China will be in Taiwan and will be tied up in a major war. I think that is a done deal, because why wouldn't you? If you were China, America is at the tipping point. We are so divided as a nation. Our banking system, the entire West, is just waiting for a little to completely collapse. You have states fighting against states. You have complete unrest at your fingertips all over the West.
So a couple things there. One, his prediction, and then two, his thoughts on why it would be so easy. So do you think that 2025, is that really far-fetched? Because when I first heard it, I was like, damn, that's close. But when you think about it.
He's saying that we'll be in a war. I don't know that we get in a war, because if China takes Taiwan, there's nothing we're going to do about it. Like, what are we going to do about it? Attack Taiwan or attack China? I mean, again, maybe we have the Tic Tac ships if we want to go down that rabbit hole. But they all have hypersonic missiles, right? We put Patriot missile batteries over in Ukraine. And Russia, when they use their hypersonic missiles, it's a hit every time. It's why Russia's getting the upper hand right now. They use their hypersonic missiles to take out like energy areas and to take out like the command centers for a lot of the air defense for the Ukrainians. So now the Russian Air Force is doing, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I don't know that we have anything unless, like I said, we have the Tic Tac ship that can maybe do it, or something that we don't know about. Right now, on the surface, we don't have anything that could stop hypersonic missiles. So what are you going to do? Sail all of our aircraft carriers and our fleets over there to get smashed out by hypersonic missiles? They can't, you know, the Patriots can't stop them. All this different stuff can't stop them. So I wouldn't be surprised. Because of that, I wouldn't see if China really wants to do it, I wouldn't be surprised to see them take Taiwan. But I think it just ends up like, we're going to go to the UN and protest. And at the same time, I think you talked about the BRICS and stuff. I'm not sure that our economy is going to be on the top of the heap right now. China's courting the Saudis to kick us off the petrodollar and to put the yen on the petrodollar, yuan, whatever they call it. So I don't know that we're going to be in the position financially to say anything about it. You know, yeah. And necessarily military. We shot our wad by flooding all of our weapons and, you know, a lot of our stuff, our weapons and ammo into the Ukraine. They're blowing through it like crazy. We don't have, we can't make enough artillery shells to keep the Ukrainians going.
Yeah.
So what do you want?
And I think that's why what he said about this, why not? This is a perfect time, because we're all distracted. We're all at each other's throats. We don't have the surplus or the stockpile that we used to have. I've been down here editing videos and stuff, and on my TV, I've had YouTube on, and I don't know how healthy it is, but I've been going down this rabbit hole of China and Taiwan and Russia and all these different things, and the nukes and all that. And if they were to, I watched this one video where they were talking about if they decided to go into Taiwan, what they would do possibly is, we've got so many things stationed out there in all those little islands. They'd want to take us out first, get rid of us, our installations out there. That way it'd be easier for them to go into Taiwan. I think that could or should kick off our response.
See, I don't think they would. I don't think they would have to hit our stuff. I don't think we'd pull the trigger.
You think we'd just let them? You know, like Obama's red line. Just
yeah. I don't think we'd pull the trigger on China. Yeah. I mean, because then what we've done is now we're like, you know, if we then we're actively engaged with China, and we're, you know, somewhat engaged with Russia. I mean, if we do, I mean, you're talking the start of possibly World War III, right?
Yeah.
Because then what happens to, does all of NATO go, oh, okay, so now we're, you know, we're involved. I think there's so many, I don't think we, I don't see us pulling that trigger. But then again, you know, the U.S. wants to do, you know, they we love the military industrial complex. I mean, that's, we're funneling all this money in. I think one of the reasons we're funneling so much money in the, through the Ukrainian, the military industrial complex and all this shit going on right now is to kind of, they're trying to put life support into our economy right now. So all this money, they're moving all this money around, but I think we're on life support. I don't know that we're going to be in a financial or a world power position to tell them no.
Yeah. Hey, Liberated Lady in the chat is saying that guess Dale didn't get things figured out. Show keeps cutting out. I'm watching it on Rumble right now.
Yeah,
and it's fine for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a Rumble issue or what it is, but it seems okay to me. So we'll have to see you here in a few. I think that's the whole thing with this is there's everything is so up in the air. I mean, who knows what would happen? I know China's really opportunistic when it comes to their allies as well. They are helping Russia out or being on Russia's side. But at the same time, you know that if they had an opportunity, they would take Russia out too. So it's not like they're buddies and pals. Same thing with us. Same thing with, you know, Saudi Arabia, which they're helping. I saw the other day that Saudi Arabia and Iran have just brokered some sort of deal, which is basically going to hurt the petrodollar that the United States runs on. Saudi Arabia basically flipping the United States off, saying we don't need you. We're going to do this without you. So it's almost like with us not wanting to, you know, we've got plenty of reserves, but we don't want to use it. It seems like we with this administration, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot left and right. And there's a whole lot of people out there that aren't from Europe that just want to see the United States big brother machine.
I think I'm not throwing it on the Biden administration, but I don't know. I don't think Biden's really in charge. Do you?
No,
like that.
No.
That dude could barely.
That's
hold
why
it
I say
together.
Administration.
Well, I think what it is, it's the deep state. Again, we're that when we say the Biden administration, we're playing the political fucking football game, right? We're playing the othering we're dividing ourselves because it's the same when for most of the time when the Republicans are in there. You know, I go back to it all the time. In the last, I don't know, 6-8 years, both the Republicans and the Democrats have each controlled for 2 years all the vote decision making parts of the government. And neither one of them addressed any of this shit. So you can call it the deep state, you can call it the oligarchy, whatever you want. I think this is the route they want to go. And so I don't think it really matters who's in there all that much. Maybe if, you know, I mean, I think China and Europe backed down a lot from Trump. Maybe if he's in there, you know, if he gets reelected, but I don't know what the chances are of that. I mean, not even just saying that he can't win an election. But, you know, I still have a problem with the whole pipe breaking in Georgia thing. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, there's just a whole lot of I don't know. I mean, that brings up a whole other can of worms, too, as far as all of the you know, the things that happened then, the things that are happening now. I don't know. We'll get back to this Russia stuff. But while we're on the whole Trump thing with him getting arrested, we didn't really talk about that last week. I don't know if that wasn't him. I mean, I'm not trying to defend Bragg because he's a big piece of shit, but I don't know if that wasn't him ginning stuff up.
Well, I mean, I think there probably was, but when I look at it, and I don't know, and I make no bones about it, I'm not a Trump supporter. And at the same time, when they came out and they had, I don't know what the guy's name is that testified and basically said, and they got testimony showing that the star witness for the prosecution is a perjurer and all this, you know, this kind of stuff. Maybe Trump coming out and screaming and hollering before it happened made some of that happen. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Because I mean, you think about it, And again, you know, Trump is who Trump is, but a lot of what he said about them spying on his campaign and spying on everything and all the shit that was happening was true. We know that now, right? Looking back at, you know, the Russiagate and all the bullshit that came out of that stuff, a lot of what he said is true. So him saying this, you know, I think it's, you know, it might have been him saying, hey, let me get this out in the open so they don't try to sneak something through the courts. And all of a sudden they're like, here, Trump gets picked up on Tuesday. He put it out there. And I think it put a lot of pressure on that, that, you know, that knucklehead DA up there, Bragg. And, you know, and I think maybe that helped force them not to do anything.
Yeah. Yardbirds in the chat said Trump beat him to the punch by exposing the story, took the wind out of their sails. Yeah. Yeah. I could see him. I mean, maybe that's exactly what he did. And he knew that this would give, you know, give his base a little bit of juice and all that stuff. But it's such a game that does no good for anybody other than the shitheads at the top. And that's kind of like what Glenn Beck was talking about. What a perfect time, because you've got this administration that will not do anything, or whoever's running the show. And that's probably a big reason they don't want Trump in there, because if they get a Republican in there that will go along with the show, then they can continue doing the same things. But we're all at each other's throats. Different states are at each other's throats. I mean, everybody is just so self-centered these days and worried about gender and all these other things that we don't. We're just not the same America that we used to be.
The stuff they're throwing at us at us to divide us, right? The problem they have is, again, we get back to the, you know, I'm a fan of Jimmy Dore. We get back to the Jimmy Dore people who before this we probably wouldn't have gotten along well with on a lot of stuff. And the overarching, the more important issues right now is the overreach of government. I mean, look at Matt Taibbi, right? When he talks about it, how he was on Maria Bartiromo's show today on Fox, and he was talking about it, how terrifying the level of censorship that they're trying to get is, right? And so, you know, it comes back, you know, I think the current iteration is the Biden administration. They're the ones doing it, but it's just going to keep this, you know, ramping up stuff, trying to keep people othering and for us not to get together. Cause I think what they're worried about is what's happening over in Paris right now and what's happening in Israel right now. You know, like where their government, and don't forget, like they're, it went from a bunch of Republicans suggesting it to a bipartisan thing in the Senate that they're talking about raising the retirement age to 70. They just had the Congressional Budget Office came out and says it wants to cut veterans' benefits. It wants to means test a veteran to say, well, you know, hey, you're missing your two legs, but you know, your wife's making $170,000 a year as a nurse, so we're not going to give you your benefits anymore, right? So they're examining cutting you know, disabled veterans' benefits. Right. And, you know, and so this stuff's causing at least protests and maybe riots around the world. But how far is a protest and a riot from taking on something else when it comes to the government?
Yeah. And just to kind of expand on that, so people know what we're talking about in case they haven't heard about it, probably haven't, if they just are, you know, not on Twitter and don't have Brian Duff as a friend to send you links all the time. But it's not necessarily just that they raised the age, but the way Macron did it was unconstitutional. He basically sidestepped their constitution or put something in and said, I'm doing this whether you like it or not. In Israel, and I just saw that today, so I don't know a whole lot of details. If anybody in the chat does, let me know. But I believe their parliament or their the way they have their government or courts set up, Netanyahu unilaterally decided to change some crap, and people are flipping out. So it's again, it's one issue that they're pissed about, but it's the way that these governments are doing the things. That's what's getting the people pissed off. Have the debate, have the vote, have the discussion about raising the retirement age, but don't just go unilaterally dictator style changing things. I think that's what people in France are so pissed off about. I tell you what, the other day when I told you you were texting me that, and I texted you back, I said, maybe the French government's a bunch of pussies. But French people are no joke, man. I mean, right? When they get pissed.
Yeah, I mean, it's. What the hell's that?
Was what?
Oh, never mind. I was looking up some stuff on Netanyahu, but yeah, that's the whole thing right now, right? Netanyahu is trying to overhaul the judicial system. And I think one of the chief justices, somebody really high up in the judicial system, basically said, no, that's not cool. And so then Netanyahu fired the guy today, right? And so the other side on Paris, their Congress over there, whatever their version of Congress is, I'm not all into the French politics, but yeah, whatever that level of stuff is, they voted this measure down, like pretty much unanimous. Like, no, we're not going through with that. And Macron's like, no, yes, we are. And he's just trying to push it through. Right. I mean, and do we look at our government? What did we just come out of with the, you know, Trudeau shut people off of their bank accounts? You know, we came out of the lockdowns where, you know, even if you're for the lockdowns, you can't say that the government didn't pick winners and losers. No, your industry can't open up. But all these other industries, yeah, you guys can open up. We won't worry about people passing around COVID at your stores. But these other stores, you can't do it. And so they pick winners and losers. And cause the financial crisis we're in right now. So how far do we think that they're going to go to lock things down? I know here in California, the mayor of LA during the pandemic was threatening to shut off people's water to their homes if they didn't get in line. So, I mean, it's not like we haven't had this precedent on some level already set. I mean, Jesus, go back to World War II. We locked up the Japanese and put them in internment camps. So how far down the road is our government from doing it? Well, we've already done it. Yeah. So how far is it from them deciding to do it again? And the shitty part for all of us that are watching this right now as preppers and stuff, you're the hippies of the 19, you're the counterculture of the 1960s right now, because you're the one speaking out against the shit. So guess who those internment camps or whatever, I'm not saying the FEMA camps, all that, but we've done it in the past. So when the government acts, guess who it's going to act against?
Yeah. Hey, a couple comments. I really wish we could pull up Rumble comments, but we can't. But Tiger in the chat said, there's talk of getting rid of all disability is what I've read a few times. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much. I'll have to look into that. But Brandon also said in there, Macron not only sidestepped everything legal, he also went against everything the French people and philosophy of life believe in. So, yeah. they're pissed. And the same thing with Israel. I mean, it was... I don't want to say instantaneous, but the second that ruling came down or they found out, people just flooded the damn streets.
People are pissed. You know? We just, everybody spent whether you're, you know, you believe in the virus or not, everybody spent the last 3 years have sucked, right? Because they've done such a great job of polarizing it. We've all had some nemesis on the other side that's been either pissed us off or, you know, whatever's going on. So the last 3 years since 2020 have been pretty stressful for everybody. And these dudes aren't taking they're not taking their foot off the accelerator, right? It's again, they're not acting in the best interest of we the people. You know, we talk about here in America, we say it all the time, we're not even in the top 20 of most free countries when to the freedom index and that kind of stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And I think by the way wave Old Glory around and scream freedom and how we invade countries over supposed freedom, like we would be pissed if we weren't at the top of that list. Why is our education suck and we spend so much money, you know, on it? We just toss it down the hole. We don't try to, you know, lift people up. The fact that we can have Chicago's turn into a shithole like that because of politics, dude. You know, well, I think we're ripe.
Yeah, it's the whole weak men create hard times. And I think it's weak populations and weak people and people so consumed with what they're doing and not having that mentality of, hey, if we don't start paying attention, we're going to get blindsided. One thing that a lot of this, all those things that you were just talking about, I don't know so much with Israel. I don't pay too much attention to what they do out there. But what all of these have in common is that World Economic Forum philosophy. That Western, you know, civilization philosophy, that they're all doing the same things. And people in Australia, people in France, all these different countries are getting pissed. People, the farmers in, I believe it's Switzerland or whatever, getting pissed about all of this stuff because these big wigs are doing this stuff in the name of you know, sustainability and all of that stuff. And people just aren't having it. And then you got the other side with China and Russia and all these other countries that don't want any part of this little westernization of the planet.
No, they're trying to piss down our back and tell us it's rain. You know?
Yeah, that's, I mean, like, that should be the World Economic Forum slogan.
I think most people that watch this, you know, are have a concern over the environment. You know, like, you can see stuff changing, whether that's ebbs and flows. It's hard to say that we as, you know, human beings don't fuck it up. But quit telling the United States that we got to keep rogering up more and more shit, and that shit ends up coming out of our wallets and coming out of our asses. And then you're not making sure that it's being enforced unilaterally around the world. You know, the fact that they still call China a developing nation when China provides, you know, a huge percentage of the world's goods, that they're still a developing nation. And that way they can pollute the environment more is fucking criminal. But again, don't keep coming to the United States and using this world bullshit to poke at us. It's not my fault you guys gave up your fucking guns.
Yeah, yeah. China's got the world by the cojones, man, when you think about it. Because who can... they definitely have the United States by the cojones, the Hollywood and all that stuff, but you can't really go against them because so many economies depend on China's, you know, China's goods, our companies in China.
Well, think about this, man. We started off talking about if, you know, if we end up in war with China. Where does all of our medications come from? Where does all of our shit come from? Right? They don't want to rock that boat.
But China doesn't care.
No. We don't want to rock that boat.
I'm talking about China attacking.
Like, look at all the shortages we have going on just because there was, you know, China wasn't loading freighters as fast as they could because everybody was locked in, you know, welded into their apartments over there. Okay, so we go to war with them. What are you going to buy? I mean, I went to CVS the other day, went to pick up a pack of lighters. I was working on some of my bags. They were out of lighters. So I went to another CVS on the other side of town. They had one pack of lighters left. I don't know if that's like where everybody else is at. These were Bic lighters. They're not the little, you know, shitty truck stop lighters that don't cost much and they always break. So I don't know if that's going on everywhere, but here, like, I'd go to two stores to find lighters. Are you kidding me?
I haven't bought it. I've got so many lighters. I haven't bought one in probably 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh, but that kind of makes me, I mean, like Glenn Beck was talking about earlier, what a better time, because what would happen if they, and it, you sort of said it as well, but what would happen if they went into Taiwan and said, we're going there in a year and a half, a year from now, or they went and destroyed some of the bases that we have out there to make it a little bit easier. What are we going to do? And maybe they're like, yeah, bring it. What are you going to do, the United States? What are you going to do?
We're not going to do anything. Again, with the hypersonic missile threat, unless we have something to defend it that we don't know about, they can take out all of our ships. They can take out our carriers. We don't have anything that can stop it. So what are we going to do? That's how we project force. We send a carrier battle group somewhere, right? Drop a bunch of planes. And what are we going to do? Drop the 82nd Airborne in on Taiwan? I mean, they can pretty much shell it from the mainland China.
Well, if they can do that and get away with it, what's to stop them from moving forward?
Nothing.
I mean, that's going down this rabbit hole I was talking about today. Have you heard of the nuclear sponge?
No.
That saying. It's basically
it sounds like it's the birth control that women buy for me.
it kind of is. Back when they were putting all these, it basically says that if you're in Colorado or the Midwest, you're toast. But it's where they put all the Patriot missile silos and all that, because what they figured is if Russia's going to launch nukes, and this was Cold War type stuff, but if they're going to launch nukes, they're going to take out all those places in the middle of the U.S. And one, it gives us time to launch those because it's further away. And two, it's less populated. So it's kind of a, you know, sorry about all you people living in Colorado, but.
So let me ask you a question about your nuclear sponge idea.
Well, it's irrelevant these days, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if they start launching nuclear warheads at each other, like, I don't think the sponge, I don't think the rag, the mop, and the bucket all matter at that point, right? Because, I mean, we're just going to launch like 10 at each other? Hey, you just launched 10, we'll launch 10? I mean, I think the world would be pretty much screwed anyhow, right?
Yeah. Back when this was planned out, though, I think that there were limited ranges for nuclear missiles and stuff. I think it was like 500 kilometers or 5,000 kilometers. These days, it doesn't matter. So just because there's the center of the U.S. is this nuclear sponge where all these old missile silos and stuff are, doesn't mean that bombs aren't going to be flying all over the United States. So, but I thought that was interesting, too. It just showed Montana, North Dakota, Colorado, Wyoming, and all these places where used to be called the nuclear sponge. So 20 years ago, you know, completely toast. These days, I mean, who knows? I still don't think I'm too well off, but at least I know that it's not just us.
Oh, well, I mean, no, you're smoked, man, where you're at. Like, you're
yeah, done. I think so.
You know, it's like where I'm at in LA. I got JPL's maybe a 5-8 minute drive for me. Jet Propulsion Laboratory is there, right? I got Caltech. Trust me, I won't have to worry about being prepared if that thing ever happens here.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's crazy times, man. No, I don't think, maybe we do. I just don't see how we could do anything to stop China from invading Taiwan. I mean, it would be like, what's China going to do to stop us from invading Baja? You know, I mean, it's pretty much that close. It's not like really far away. So, you know, Nova Scotia, there's not much they can really do about it.
Yeah, yeah. And it is sort of the same type of situation, agree with it or not, that Ukraine is to Russia. Yeah. The same sort it used to be part of China and all that crap, but it doesn't make it right, but well, it is.
As long as Russia has, you know, China going with it, whenever it goes to the UN, China can veto everything just like Russia can.
Yeah.
No, but it's okay. That's okay what they're doing. You know, the war crimes and all that shit that, again, I don't love Putin. But the war crimes he's doing and all that stuff. Yeah. Now that'll be okay. He won't suffer any consequences.
I just think they'd be massive. Even if China did, because eventually they're going to, they are going to go into Taiwan at one point or another. That could be 10 years. That could be 2 years. And if we don't do anything, that is going to be a huge deal. That's not like Syria and Obama. That is going to be a huge deal because that's.
What are you talking about, man? How many countries have we invaded that they've all said, hey, don't do that? That they've gone against us.
We don't count. It's rules for me, not for thee.
Yeah, or it's going to be a huge deal to us in the media. But China doesn't give two fucks.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to be able to do anything. They have veto power on the UN Security Council just like we do. They don't have to. They're going to protest. We'll protest. We'll scream and get up and raise some hell at the UN. And somebody will say some things here and there. Then Hunter Biden will go over on some expeditionary trip and come back with millions of dollars and he gives to the big guy. You know, I mean, no.
Yeah.
We'll you know see. How this goes. It's rinse and repeat, man.
Well, did you see, I had read something the other day about Australia. Basically, and I watched, again, I went down this rabbit hole today. I watched a documentary from Sky News, which Sky News in Australia is basically their Fox News. But
right.
But I watched this documentary how they're kind of backtracking. They're like, okay, if the United States gets in a war with China, we're going to be involved in something that we really had nothing to do with. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of saying that, hey, we're not so sure if you get in a conflict with China over Taiwan that we're actually going to have your back. Now, they did their political speech and said it in so many words, right? But that's what they were saying is, don't count all your chickens, you know, don't just assume that we're going to be there with you because we're not so sure.
Because if they get the Saudis to pull the yen and we're no longer part of the petrodollar, that's one of the things keeping our dollar afloat a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. And I think when that happens, like, I think our economy drops. I agree with Glenn Beck. What do we get? We get a, you know, central bank digital currency. We get a digital dollar out of that. And we end up being way down the totem pole. And meanwhile, the elites, remember, this is a fight of the haves and not have nots, not Republicans and Democrats. It's the haves mm-hmm. and have nots. Those haves up there just get more power. And we all end up looking like, I don't know, you know, some dystopian movie, man. We look like the Hunger Games.
Yeah. Yeah. It will too. And it could be, we've mentioned it a bunch of times here, but, because it does seem like, that as much as they piss off Saudi Arabia, they don't really care. As much as they, you know, that China, they're basically in bed with. They go out of their way to either not say a damn thing about China or to avoid saying anything bad about China. I mean, you let a balloon, whatever the hell it was a foreign country's object flying over our airspace. And we just let it, like, you know, like she called Biden and said, hey, man, don't touch that. Don't touch that.
I mean, Biden was like, okay. You know, well, we were worried about it because being dangerous, and that thing should have been shut down on day one, man.
But we weren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like
it might fall on somebody in the middle of Montana. Right? Like, come on.
I think
you can shoot it down so it doesn't fly when it's not flying over buildings or something. And so it falls down out in the middle of prairie. And maybe the mountains, if you just wait to get. Yeah, it was, they're idiotics. And the fact that if they didn't truly catch it before it got to our country, that they didn't catch it before it got there. Well, we had the, what'd they say? We had the, like the gain turned up. We had the filter turned on, so we weren't really scanning for that, for balloons. But they'll track every fucking piece of space debris flying around above the Earth. Yeah. But we miss a balloon the size of a bus. Does that sound a little odd? I don't know. I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it because we know everything that's going on over there.
Yeah. Tiger in the chat said China and Ukraine have shit on the Bidens. I agree. Lisa and I, she was listening. She always listens to Clyde Lewis, and she was talking about this. And I made the joke, and I'm not so sure it's a joke or not, but I made the joke about this Chinese spy balloon is kind of like an open house where you still open the house, you still own the house, but you let people in to see what, you know, what the kitchen looks like and what the, so China's, you know, basically flying their little balloon camera over the United States to check out little refineries and what does the geography look like. And because, you know, basically we've been sold out basically. So I don't know how much of a joke that is.
Well, come on. No country should let a foreign country just, you know, put something willy-nilly. Above them. So it should have been shot down. That's what you should do. Like, you should always shoot that down.
Yeah.
And the fact that it wasn't makes me want, you know, that's where, like, again, it's inconsistent. Like, we know that that's what the go-to response should be. You know, I mean, they have to put out rules over cities like, hey, don't shoot down drones and, you know, or like when the police are flying, don't shoot the helicopters down. We shoot things out of the air. It's what we do. We're America, right? Like that thing should have been shot down. So the fact that it wasn't makes me like, okay, well, why wasn't? Was it ineptitude, which is terrible? Or was it intentionally like, let's just let it keep flying and doing what it does?
Yeah. It regardless of all this stuff, I still want to talk about the whole Belarus thing, get your thoughts on that. But regardless of what, something's going to play out. And it's going to unfold one way or another. And it's just, it's really tough to say which way that goes. It very well could be China basically gives us the bird and says, we're going into Taiwan, stop us. Yeah. And then we go, you know, we get up on the, whoever it is that's the president, that's the talking head at that point, gets up there and says some really strong words and bad words and China bad. And then we just go about, you know, making sure that our companies and our shipping and our products and Walmart shelves are still packed and all that stuff. It very well could turn out that way. We could end up getting into some sort of conflict with them. Although if that happens, we're not as strong as we should be. I don't want to say we're depleted, but we're not as strong as we should be.
I think it comes back. I think the U.S. still has a really strong military. I mean, if you remember the first Gulf War, Saddam, his fifth biggest army in the world. Like, ooh, he's tough. I'm not saying the Chinese aren't tough, but the American army fucks people up. Like, they're really good at fucking people up.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, I don't know. Maybe it's my normalcy bias. I just don't see us doing it because there's so many, you know, we depend on China for so much now.
Yeah. Hey, Brandon put in the chat, he said, or we get crazy and shoot down everything like ham radio balloons. I had heard the guys from a ham radio club saying that they thought that was their balloon or whatever. But if you put up something that big, don't you have to you'd think you'd have to register with the FFA or FAA or something to be able to do that. And there would be a chain of, you know, people would know what's going on rather than, you know, the administration coming out going, oh, we don't know what it is. It's a spy balloon. It's this, it's that. So wouldn't there be more clarity to that?
I don't know. I think it's two assholes who don't know anything about fucking balloons trying to have a conversation about balloons, acting like they know something about balloons.
I think it's the whole country that is like that. And it be the whole administration.
Well, like I was going to say, like, you know, I could see it going certain ways. But, you know, then again, I don't know fuck all about balloons.
Yeah,
I've never put up a rate. I mean, do they deflate after a certain amount of time? Are they made to deflate after a certain amount of time? Do they have a transponder that lasts until that amount of time? There's all kinds of things that can go wrong with them, you know.
I think the problem's bigger than a fucking balloon, but I'm just saying we allow that crap to happen. We allow the other. What's happening?
Look, with all the shit happening right now, with the, you know, allowing this balloon thing, you know, not having. And here's the thing: if you could say, well, we should have allowed, not having a good answer for it, right? And all the other stuff that's happening around the world with China, with Taiwan, with Russia. You know, I Russia right now is, again, they're soaking up they're soaking up Ukrainian casualties by emptying out their prisons and putting these you know, prisoners on there and telling them, hey, we'll give you, you know, 6 months. If you survive, you get off, you know, you get off your prison sentence. And the meanwhile, the Ukrainians are scooping up 16-year-olds off the street. So that thing might be falling apart here. You know, you talk about putting nuclear missiles in Belarus. I think it only makes sense that Putin would do that right now. Right. Yeah. China just came out and gave him the thumbs up, said, yeah, we got your back. And what are we going to do about it? Scream and say, you can't do it. Just like what we're going to do when China invades Taiwan, you know, and he's keeping everybody focused on that. And I think it makes complete sense that he did this.
It's going to sound like I'm defending the asshole, but I'm not. But
no,
when you think about it, you look at all the bases and everything we've got right on China's border, right around Taiwan, just all that stuff going on. That's okay. But with him, and I think it's different than a lot of people are talking about it being the next, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis or whatever. I think it's completely different because Cuba was as close as they could get. Plus there wasn't the range that they have now. Right. So Cuba was the one place strategically that they could get to us. Whereas Belarus, it doesn't necessarily mean
they're tactical nukes. He's threatening them for Ukraine. These are, I think they're tactical nukes for using them against Ukraine. That's what the thing.
So he's just trying to go from the other side and.
Yeah, he put nukes on basically he's putting Ukraine more nukes up against Ukraine.
Poland though.
Well, Belarus is right there, you know. I mean, while I think he's gonna finish walking over, you know, and it hasn't been a walk, I think they, you know, I think there was probably a bunch of miscalculations on the Russians' part when they did this did their invasion. And I think they figured their shit out now a little bit, right? And I don't see the Ukrainians were nowhere on the level of the Polish army. Right. So, you know, I don't see him doing anything against Poland. I think this is just one big statement he's making. Like, I think he's doing a fuck you. All right. You guys want to keep playing your games? Fuck you. Let's put some nuclear missiles out here because his country's not pissed off over the nuclear missiles. Right. And the countries that support him aren't pissed off over the nuclear missiles. But everybody else is getting all fired. He's putting nukes there. I mean, you know, so I don't know. I think this is him just fucking poking us even more.
Well, I read I read a headline from The Guardian. I try not to read articles from The Guardian, but the headline basically said Russia is holding Belarus hostage. With nuclear missiles. And I was like, I really doubt it because they're kind of allies. I mean, they're basically allies. So it's not like they have to.
No, they're a bunch of, Belarus is a straight up commie fuck government too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? So I just thought that was a way to spin the whole thing. Like, hey, Belarus doesn't want to, don't be mad at them. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think that is kind of the least of my worries with this stuff because you know, if countries wanted to do something, they could do something. And it's not just, you know, maybe it bugs people in Poland and Germany and all that stuff. Well, but, you know, I don't know.
I think he's also making a statement that when he goes to roll over Ukraine, once he gets done in the one battle that they're at right now, If he gets his breakthrough there, I think it also gives gives like a little warning to the Ukrainians. Don't do anything fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Hey, Brandon said in the chat, tactical nukes now are capable of what we dropped on Japan in terms of kilotons. Yeah. It's crazy how technology has changed so much. The old school way of thinking, kind of what we were talking about earlier about nuclear war and bombs and all that stuff is, you know, duck and cover. It's a totally different ball game now. Totally different. Yeah. I was, again, watching nuke shit all day long.
There was a really good Joe Rogan clip. He had Andrew Schultz on this week. And so Andrew Schultz, I assume, is in his late 30s, somewhere around there. We're in his 30s. And so he was asking Joe Rogan, who, you know, Joe Rogan's, I don't know, 55, 56, was asking him about, like, what it was like to be scared of, be worried about nuclear bombs back in the 70s in the Cold War. And so Joe Rogan was telling him, you see him like, really? Like that was a thing? And Joe, like everybody was pretty sure it was going to end up being a nuclear war going back and forth. So yeah, everything's gone back to the 70s. The economy's in the 70s, the fear of nuclear wars in the 70s. Chicks are wearing those hip hugger bell bottom looking shit again, jeans. So
does that mean the collars with the big long, the long pointy collars?
These are people in Colorado.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what, California, I'm going to pull up some pictures of some turds in California in the 70s and we'll see. Nut hugger shorts their surfboards and crap.
Look, people in California are weirdos. Like, dude, try about punching down. Like, how easy is that? That's like low hanging fruit right there. Of course they're weirdos.
Hey, I tell you, maybe in the 70s, California, it happened somewhere between then and now where California just completely went off the cliff.
I think it was the hippie in Berkeley stuff in the 70s. I remember as a kid.
Yeah, probably.
I remember everybody calling them dirty hippies and everything as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. And then, the whole country, I think, right around the time Clinton got in there, that's when the whole government and everything just...
Well, that's when the Democratic Party stopped being about everything social and started saying, hey, why don't we act like we're about things being social, but let's really be corporate, so...
Yeah. 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 So, just interesting. I mean, one last thing, too, on this whole Russia thing is... You talk about how Russia is just basically... You said this last week. They're a couple months, probably, possibly... they're going to make a lot of headway in the Ukraine. I've heard things where Russia is, it's almost a who can outlast the other one type situation because Russia's running pretty low. They've had to basically empty their prisons or get a bunch of prisoners to fight for them. So they're sort of running through.
No. What they're doing, man, is they're putting the prisoners out there to do the fighting right now. They got like their well-trained, the army they've been training up is sitting back there hanging out. So while the prisoners go up there and fight and they use Wagner Group, while they use these contractors to go fight the Ukrainians, they're inflicting casualties, a bunch of casualties on the Ukrainians. So the Ukrainians are like we talked about, they're scooping up 16-year-olds and old men off the streets and giving them like a week or two, 3 weeks of training if they're lucky, and they're putting them out on the front lines, right? So as the Wagner group inflict all these casualties, Ukrainians are running out of troops, and the Russians still haven't launched their spring offensive yet. The ground's still too muddy, right? That's the World War II stuff, right? It was frozen ground or muddy ground. You know, they always had to wait until the muddy season ended because you couldn't push your armor and your tanks and it was just a nightmare to move through. Well, they're in the muddy season right now. So Russians aren't doing a whole lot of moving. But when that ground firms up, they're going to send their main army in. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it just smash the Ukrainians. The Russians run a thing called a fire trap, right? They have their battle going on now. I can't think of the name. Of what the name of the town is they've been fighting over for a while right now. I'm drawing a blank, but they get it on three sides and they just keep sending. And so the Ukrainians keep sending troops in there. The thing of it is the Russians want them to leave. So they always leave them an exit, but the Ukrainians don't want to go. So that exit becomes an entrance for them just to keep funneling new troops in there. And right now I've heard reports that the Ukrainians are taking 7 casualties to every 1 Russian casualty because the Ukrainians don't have enough. It's an artillery war. This is World War I going on over there. Yeah. They're in trenches and they're slogging artillery rounds at each other. And the Russians will put 10,000 rounds downrange and the Ukrainians will have about 1,000 to 2,000 rounds to return fire with. So it's just a game of numbers. You put 10,000 artillery rounds and rockets over there. They only launch a couple thousand back. By sheer volume of fire, you're inflicting more casualties. And so that's what's happening. And they're bleeding. The Ukrainians are running out of people to put in the army. So when the spring offense is over, or when the spring comes and the ground hardens up, and the Russians are able to throw an actual army into this thing of trained and seasoned with all the tech, they're going to, watch to see if the Ukrainians don't buckle.
Yeah. Yeah. And meanwhile, all these billions and billions of dollars we put over there, if it does turn out the way you just said, all just a complete waste, I guess. Maybe not a complete waste. They don't see it as a waste because there's a lot of people getting rich off this crap. But to us, to the taxpayers, a complete waste.
Well, it's a waste of life too. Remember, I mean, you still have Ukrainians. I don't know how many people the Ukrainians have lost right now. I've heard numbers 250, 350,000 Ukrainians have been killed. Right. And then, Russians do it. And they're all like, oh, we're trying Putin for war crimes. They should all be tried for war crimes. They're all doing horrible shit over there. The Ukrainians have castrated Russian soldiers. The Russians have executed Ukrainians. I mean, this is what that area of the world does when war goes like this. They're taking it out on each other. It's what happens when you have units that are openly Nazis. I saw a picture of a Ukrainian tank yesterday heading up towards the front, right? On some it was on Twitter, some video. And there's a big German Iron Cross on the side of it, right? And you had all the media before all the war broke out talking about the problems with Nazis in Ukraine. So you got these people acting like Nazis, doing horrible shit to one another.
But that doesn't make the news these days.
No.
Because you got to support Ukraine, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And then on top of all that crap, you've got the economy. You've got, all these other, different things that I just am not all that convinced that the next 5 years aren't just going to completely suck. And, I hope I'm wrong, but I just think I just am not very optimistic about it because it very well could. I'm not saying I'm 90% sure that everything's going to go to crap, but I would say I'm more than 50% sure that something one way or the other is going to make life really freaking hard. And it wouldn't surprise me if we got into some sort of conflict with China. And listening to you tonight, it wouldn't surprise me if we didn't either, if we just completely caved. Which, what does that say about the United States?
Well, I mean,
if we just completely cave, another one of our allies we just give up on?
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, it gets back to it. I kind of do that the U.S. is a much better military than the Chinese military. It's not on the level of fighting an insurgency.
Yeah. Right?
We see what's happening with a war that's going on. Like these dudes are locked in, this is the Battle of Bastogne out there that's going on. They're locked in a battle where they're sitting across each other's lines, shooting artillery rounds at each other, doing patrols and they're dropping drones out of the sky or dropping shit. I mean, it's a fucking full on war that's going on there. Like, I don't know that we want to bite that off with China. And if for nothing more than the amount of casualties our military would take, like we could win, but it's like saying we won World War II, right? How many troops did the US lose? And did the world lose? If you want to watch some good shit right now, go back and watch some like History Channel kind of stuff of like all the events that led up to World War I. Watch the politics of the world that were going on back then. It's very similar to what's going on now.
Yeah. 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 A lot of crazy crap. A lot of crazy crap. And it's just kind of a wait and see at this point. I think we're towards the end of this whole, and by the end, by when I say the end, I mean, yeah, it could be months and months, but I think we're towards the end. This isn't going to be something that drags on for 3-4 years. And then we'll see where that goes, which, you know, whichever, if Putin does end up getting what he wants, what does that mean? What is NATO going to do? What is Europe going to do? And what are we going to do in turn? What is China going to do after that? And how much power in 10 years are we really going to have anyway?
Well, and I think part of it comes down to, right, like what happens internally in the United States?
Yeah.
You know, like what's going on right now? I mean, the division, all the stuff. Dude, this presidential election, I mean, the Republicans are just slugging out. I think DeSantis just like took his first swipe back at Trump finally, right? And so now that's starting to cork. So here comes all of that rhetoric. And then as soon as the rhetoric gets done from within the Republicans, it's going to turn on to the, you know, where the Republicans going after the Democrat on the presidential campaign again. And so that mudslinging is going to go on. Right. And don't forget, man, mainstream media, what have they done? They've started running stories about Biden and the laptop a little bit, not a much, but it's out there.
Yeah.
So are they planning on dumping that dude? So do we end up with something where he gets impeached or they say, he comes out and says no. And then Gavin Newsom runs into it and all the rhetoric goes. I don't know what the next. I just did an article. It was my last podcast. Talk about managing stress over on Mind for Survival. Like, the next couple of years they're going to be nutty.
Yeah. Well, and then Tiger just put in the chat, the government will have to Google it. And I don't think this is what he was talking about. But the thing we haven't talked about today, maybe we'll get into it next week, is AI is going to, in the next 5 years, just skyrocket. The things that we're seeing right now is the tip of the iceberg of what that crap's going to be able to do. Microsoft just bought the rights to all of that stuff. So you get Microsoft in control of all that data.
Yeah, I mean, they got the rights to one of the AI engines that are running out there. But they all are using AI engines. And it's going to be the end of the internet as we know it.
Yeah.
Like, our websites are going to get crushed. Like, there's no point for Google to send anybody off of Google. The longer Google keeps you on their site, they're making money. They don't want you to go somewhere else. So once they have AI set, the AI, when you type in, hey, what's the Carrington event? And it can, and it reads what's on every blog post out across the internet. And it comes up with a summary of all that and gives you a pretty good article. Then you won't go to that website. Like, it's going to change everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they already have AI that can talk. So how soon does it be till, you know, ChatGPT starts speaking to, like, literally, you can talk to it on your phone and it can give you answers. I mean, the thing can write a book. Now, it doesn't write it great, but I think our world is going to change like crazy.
Yeah, you just have a conversation with it. Basically, you're like, hey, what's an EMP? Hey, what is the E1 effect? And why does that matter? I mean, you could basically just sit and have a conversation rather than go read an article. Dogfan said, thanks for the podcast on stress, Brian. I believe he was talking to you. I didn't do one.
Yeah. But no, dude, I mean, and that's where it comes back. You want to take it full circle and go all the way back, right? So once you get this massive technology boom that's getting ready to happen with AI, right? It's already putting Silicon Valley people out, and everybody's like, oh, it's good putting Silicon Valley. AI is going to put more and more people out. Call center people are going to they're not going to need call center people anymore, right? They're not going to need, you know, a lot of this stuff is going to get more automated. But how do you, either we go down this full tech crazy road, right, to source some sort of Matrix, you know, Hunger Games thing, or what happens? You get rid of the technology, and that gets back to the EMP stuff.
Yeah, it concerns me when people like Elon Musk, even the guy that runs ChatGPT, a lot of these big wigs in that industry are concerned about where this stuff is headed or where it could, because with all the good that this has the possibility to do, in the wrong hands. Microsoft, it has potential to really jack stuff up in a totalitarian and that's just people controlling it. What happens when this gets so big that it decides that we as humans are not part of the equation anymore?
We have the movies, right? I mean, the choices the choices right now are Demolition Man, Hunger Games, and what was the one from Matthew Broderick back in the day? War Games.
Yeah.
Hunger Man, Running. What was it? Yeah. Demolition Man, The Hunger Running. Games, and War Games. That's our futures that we're looking at right now.
Yeah, Running Man was Schwarzenegger, and that was
not Running
Man. What is the one I'm thinking of with Harrison Ford?
I meant Demolition Man.
Oh, Demolition Man.
Yeah.
But you got me thinking about that movie with Harrison Ford.
Blade Runner?
Blade Runner, that's it. Yeah. 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 Watch all that shit. You know, in 20, 30 years, people will be watching that stuff going, how did they know that stuff back then? It's crazy. I mean, we're going to see all of these advancements. I mean, hopefully it doesn't go the bad route. Hopefully there's enough good people to stop that shit. But
you
think back to the Industrial Revolution with the Rothschilds and Carnegies and all these people that just took advantage, the monopolies and all that stuff. The steel companies, the railroads, and just money, money, money. Did whatever they could, whatever they had to. Yeah. Used people.
George Soros.
Yeah, yeah. What's to say people are different these days? Like, Bill we're going to learn from it.
Bill Gates. You know, you talked about the AI. Who owns Microsoft?
Yeah, yeah. Microsoft. All right. Yeah. And Bill Gates probably talks about all the good it can do, the medical advancements and all this and that.
People talking about, you know, the guy that wants to give you fake, shitty fake meat to eat. That's not good for your health.
Yeah. You get this AI going and maybe they can come up with some advancements to actually make that Soylent Green shit possible. Oh, I don't know.
Turn you into a quart.
it's going to be a crazy decade coming up. I'll tell you what, prep on, keep prepping, prep as much as you can. Hopefully we make it another decade.
Right.
Oh yeah. With it and the social credit scores, the digital currency. I mean, yeah, I watch too much bad stuff. Maybe I need to go watch some. Yeah, some freaking,
you watch you're watching what truly is reality TV.
Yeah. Well, except for I watched a 60 Minutes video and it was whatever her name is, Andrea Cannon, talking about the missile silos in the Midwest, in the plains and stuff. And she actually asked a question, talk about reality TV. She asked this general or whoever it was, is if one of these actually launches, is there a way to is there a way to stop it? And I was sitting there going, what did this bitch just ask? It's these are the people that are bitching about gun control and stuff. If I accidentally fire my weapon, how do I stop it?
Yeah.
My Lord. I was like, you didn't just
ask the question.
What's that?
At least she asked the question. She's trying to find out.
I guess. The fact that she had to ask the question, though, in the first place is just ridiculous to me. If a nuclear missile, it's not like it's not like one of Elon Musk's rockets where, you know, it can just kind of drop back into the silo and.
Well, I mean, I think was she maybe asking if they have the ability to detonate it without causing a nuclear explosion in flight, divert it to go somewhere else so it doesn't, you know.
Maybe. Yeah. See, these are like Patriot missiles. You just shit on the 80s and 90s.
You stupid person asking a question, trying to get to know something.
It's typical 60 Minutes, you know, loaded questions. And they're talking about the missile systems being all antiquated and all that, trying to gin up, you know, all this crap. And, which it is, that's typical government. But I think there's also something to be said about those missile systems on those old ass computers, you know, probably are pretty secure because they don't have all this new technology and aren't as hackable as a lot of the stuff is. So I don't know.
Did you read that somewhere?
When I was reading up on balloons and trying to figure out everything about balloons and missiles, Balloons and Nukes for Dummies was the book was what it was called.
Are you making balloon animals now?
With depleted plutonium in them, yeah.
Uranium.
both of them. Uranium and plutonium. Makes prettier colors.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I'm done making shit up now. I'm going to
get out of here. Yeah.
Everyone in the chat, hopefully at some point Rumble integrates with Restream and we can actually pull your guys' chat comments in. I have been paying attention to him though, so everyone in the chat, appreciate it. Into the Wilderness is here. Haven't seen him in a while.
Yep.
His first comment was, typical Into the Wilderness. It was about a parrot. Had nothing to do with anything. I was like, what the hell is he talking about? What did I miss? But At any rate, how y'all doing? Thank you all for joining in. How are you doing into the wilderness? Thank you all for joining. Yardbirds, everyone else. But with that, if you haven't subscribed, make sure and subscribe over here on Rumble. We'll be, like I said, like we said earlier, we'll be doing the second half of all of our shows over here on Rumble. It may even at some point turn into just doing the whole damn show over here because YouTube's a little bit ridiculous. But who knows? We'll cross that bridge later on. But you have anything else before we get out of here, Brian?
No, man. Everybody have a good night and a safe week. And we'll see you for the craziest next Sunday.
Yep, yep. All right, everyone, take care and prepare, and we will talk to you all later.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Survival Preppers. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us on YouTube for our weekly live shows. For more information or to connect with Duff and Dale, visit thesurvivalpreppers.com. Or thebugoutlocation.com for members-only content and prepping courses. See everyone next time.